T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Of course, we are live on WTIC's Facebook page. I was on with Joe and Ray, and he asked if I gave you a disclaimer. Yes, we do have faces for radio. But we are there on WTIC's Facebook page if you'd like to check out our live stream. It's a big pain in the hiney to get rolling, trust me, but it is up there and running. And feel free to join us, and you can feel free to ask questions. We can see your comments as they're there. We'll do our best to try to answer those if we can while we're online. And as always, usual and customary, we have some technology news. This one was pretty interesting that I found on my favorite English tech blog, The Register. Ex-director cops community service after 5,000 file deletion spree on company Dropbox. Yes, folks, the cloud, the area where she put all her data for the company. And then what did she do? Deleted it. Yes, I know you thought the cloud backed up your data, but it does not. A woman who deleted 5,000 files from her former company's Dropbox has been punished with community service, even though the business allegedly collapsed after her file sharing spree. So basically, it cost the company $100,000. She permanently deleted the files off of Dropbox. So those of you out there who think your stuff's being backed up because it's on the cloud, realize it's just on somebody else's servers. They don't have any responsibility, right? So you need to make sure you keep that in mind when you are putting data out on the cloud. You need to pay for services that will also back up the data. And I just noticed that Bob is blocked by the monitor on our Facebook live stream. I got to move the monitor. Must have gotten relocated, Bob. Sorry. It's not your monitor. It's that one. So I'm going to fix that as well. But keep that in mind. When you are doing anything on the cloud, don't assume it's being backed up. We have services to back up our customers, our clients, Office 365 accounts. Why? Because same thing can happen. There are services out there, though, that'll only back up certain aspects of 365. So if you have a backup system, you're like, oh, Eric, I'm all set. I'm backing up my stuff. Well, be careful. If it's like $2 a month to back up your 365, they're only backing up your email, maybe. And most 365 users use more than just that. They have their documents out there on a drive. They have all sorts of things out there on SharePoint. If that's not part of a backup scheme, you could lose it. So keep that in mind. Bob, what other things you want to bring up? I'm going to move the monitor while you start talking, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, Honeywell says it's got the fastest quantum computer on the planet, for now. This is a CNET article. Honeywell is the quantum computing champ. On Thursday, Honeywell said it boosted the performance of its quantum computer enough to beat that of IBM's by one closely watched measure. The achievement gives Honeywell's machine the title of world's fastest quantum computer.
What are they using it for? Did they tell you at all?
It does. It says, let me see here. It's increasing its quantum computing power by a factor of 10 every year.
Yeah.
And quantum computing relies on weird rules of atomic scale physics to solve problems that are practically impossible for ordinary classical computers.
All right.
At least that's the promise. So mm-hmm. far, quantum computers are most finicky research projects, only outperforming classical computers in one narrow quantum supremacy test at Google.
Interesting.
But as researchers add more qubits, that's their measure of
performance. Qubits. All right. Qubit was a great game when I was a kid. Remember Qubit hopping up and down on those guys?
I think they used qubits as a form of money in
Blade Runner or something like that?
No. It was, where were they? We're going to go to another planet. I forget. It'll come
qubits.
To me
qubits.
When I'm not thinking about it.
That's all right. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, as researchers add more qubits and learn to protect them from disturbances that derail calculations, expect quantum computers to become more powerful.
Very good.
Tasks they're expected to do well include optimizing financial portfolios, machine learning, and designing new materials like solar panels or batteries.
Very good. Yeah. All right, I got a question for you guys out there. Does your arm hurt? How about your wrist? How's your neck doing? A lot of us have been chucked back into our homes to actually operate and work, right? So we're all working from home. We're doing the Zoom. We're doing all this remote work. Our companies have said, you know, get out of the office. They're nowhere near as safe as Target and Lowe's in the liquor stores. So we have to go and work from home. And as we're doing this, we're finding ourselves working from kitchen tables. You know, that's a different height than your office table. You're working on your lap. I saw, only reason this even came to mind is I saw my local weatherman doing his broadcast from his patio, and I could see his knees because he had shorts on. I'm thinking, man, that looks really uncomfortable. And of course, my wife's been complaining too. I mean, you're looking at wrists, you're looking at arms and necks and stuff like that. When you were in the office environment, your companies cared. You know, you could call up and talk to the company. I mean, here at Tab, I've got a great sit-stand station. I stand all day when I'm working, except for when I eat my lunch. But when you're at home, it's a very uncomfortable situation for a lot of people. And I have a strong suspicion that, yes, work from home is wonderful, but you're going to have some serious workman comp issues coming down the line because there's some very uncomfortable folks out there contorting themselves with their keyboards and their mice working from home. And I think companies who think they're going to be able to kind of wash their hands of, well, you're working from home, it's not our problem. Well, no, you sent them home because you couldn't be as safe as Target, Lowe's, and the liquor store. So if you're going to do that, you probably have to consider that the workman's comp attorneys are going to start making some money unless you consider how you're going to help your folks that are working from home. Now, I'm not suggesting you have to buy them some sort of special desk, but then again, maybe you have to. I don't know. Depends on how many people complain about this issue. I just think it's something we ought to be aware of as more and more of us work from home and these big companies don't have the ergonomics crews to run out there and, hey, how can I measure your desk? How can I help you? How can I make you be more comfortable? Which they used to do when you were in these companies.
Well, just wait for the lawsuits to come along and then things will change.
I know. So I just think, you know, there's some pluses, of course, to working from home, but you got to also figure out how you're going to, you know, be more comfortable and healthy. And you got to get up and down. The weird thing I found myself when I'm working at home is I don't move as much, right? Because there's nobody to collaborate with. I mean, my wife's right in front of me working from home, so I can collaborate with her, but she doesn't work for the same company, so it's not hard to collaborate there. But I would find myself getting up and chatting with my colleagues when I'm here in the office when they were here. They're not. So you don't move. You just sit there for hours and hours, and then your smartwatch keeps telling you, you really got to get going. You got to move. You got to stand up over and over again, and people aren't. So we'll see what happens with this, but I just figured I'd bring it up. And if you want to talk about it during your calls today at computertalkwithtab.com, if you're working from home, are you experiencing some of the aches and pains of a non-ergonomic environment? You know, working on at your kitchen table is probably not at a healthy height.
My wife complains that most of these Zoom meetings go a lot longer than what they claim they were supposed to go originally planned. So that's another thing because that kind of ties you to your seat.
Oh, your focus. I was on with Ray and Joe on, I think, Thursday. I don't remember what morning. Maybe it was Wednesday morning. But they were asking about Zoom. And there's a big issue with Zoom fatigue. You know, you're focused on that on your camera because you don't know of the folks in the meeting who's looking at you. Are you looking at them? Are they looking at you? And how are you looking? So you have to, you can't be like in a meeting and kind of not always be on. You have to constantly be on because someone's looking at you. And there's an issue. There's a thing out there called Zoom fatigue.
Yeah. And the other thing is with these Zoom classes or whatever media that you're using to do the distance learning.
Yeah.
A lot of teachers haven't been trained properly how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know of a school where more than half of the teachers have quit because
wow.
they can't manage their classroom, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, yeah, in order to run an effective distance class, mm-hmm. you have to be as much an entertainer as you are a teacher.
Right. It's got to be much harder when you're doing it remotely than versus there.
Right.
I couldn't even imagine how hard the job of teaching has become.
I don't think all the elements that's involved in distance learning has been winnowed out yet.
Oh, no.
So I think there'll be some issues going forward into the next year if
right.
they continue the social distancing.
So just interested about your, you know, how you, if you're working from home, are you experiencing some of the aches and pains of a non-ergonomic environment? What else you got, Bob? Anything else you want to bring up before we go to a break real quick?
Yeah, this is a quick article. It's technology references because it was made into a movie on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
So there was this guy named Christopher McCandless who died at age 24.
Mm.
He sold everything he owned and he went on a trek across the country. So they made it into a movie. It was on Netflix.
All right.
It was a book that was published in 1996.
All right.
So anyway, what he did, he sold everything, went across the country. The movie, I thought, was absolutely great.
Okay.
And he ended up being in Alaska, and he found this bus out in the woods that used to be on a road that was trapped there. The bus was made in 1946, so I'm thinking it was probably left there in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he stayed it there, and the weather changed, and he got trapped, and he had a book, because they didn't have the internet back then. Of course, it wouldn't have been up there anyway.
In 96? They had the internet.
Not up in the middle
no,
of Alaska.
No, not up there, but we had the internet.
Have it up, anyway, but the point is that... He got trapped there for 100 days, and he starved to death, and he died.
Ooh.
So after the book and the movie, people from all over the world were going up to visit this bus.
And thanks to the internet and the book and everything. Yeah, the internet probably was part of that.
And then they had to go in and rescue a lot of people, and I guess one lady died from a foreign country. But the point is that they just used a Chinook 47, CH-47 helicopter and removed the bus because it was a hazard. They're going to put it in some unknown location until they figure out what to do with it.
Scrap it.
But, you know,
well,
somebody will buy it.
I guess.
So anyway, I thought it was an interesting article, and
we'll put a link up there
A link up there for you.
All right, guys, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to stick around and get online over at the Facebook live stream. We are live over there at WTIC's Facebook page, and, of course, we'll be here live until 11. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. That's right, our producer, Joe, I remember, he's a trumpet player. Good stuff, Joe. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we'll be here till 11 o'clock. Lines are wide open. I know it's a gorgeous Saturday morning here in Connecticut. It's a rare thing. We stick around here in Connecticut for, what, the 7 or 8 good days we have a year. But it is a beautiful day here. But if you want to get online, I do have a question. You know, the big question is, look, ergonomically, you're working from home because the businesses that you used to work for think, you know, they're not as safe as the Home Depot, Lowe's, or the liquor store. So you're working from home, and your arm is killing you. Your neck is killing you. Your wrist is killing you because you're not sitting in an ergonomic position. You know, are you feeling these types of issues? And if you are, have you reached out to your businesses to ask them if they're going to assist in some way? I'm not saying I have any of the answers, because we're going to try to have a couple guests on about this in future shows. But I think it's an issue. Because ergonomics has been an issue ever since the computer was invented, it's been a problem, and businesses have been trying to address it for folks. And what are you going to do? You're looking at all sorts of different configurations now, and how do you respond as a business? You want to take care of your employees, but I don't think you can all buy them sit-stand stations. You have an article?
I have an article from the Wall Street Journal. Working from home is taking a toll on our backs and necks.
Ah, see?
So you weren't the first one to notice that, or maybe, yeah.
The only time I'm the first one is anytime I want to provide a customer with a new technology. Seems that our company always is the first. But even the Wall Street Journal has got an article about this. I mean, it's going to be an issue. It's got to be an issue because too many of us are all working from home now, and it's nowhere near as comfortable. Oh my gosh, the guy's picture is him sitting in the, it's exactly where I saw the weather guy. I mean, he was out in his patio, and literally I'm looking at his knees, his knobby knees, because he was wearing shorts. I mean, hey, you know what? More power to you. I shaved and I put a shirt on here, but he was out there in his shorts and has got his laptop on his lap. And I'm like, man, that can't be comfortable. It's not. I mean, a laptop technically isn't comfortable on your lap. I don't know about you, Bob, but I can't use a laptop for very long on my lap. I know it's called a laptop, but thankfully I can still put it on my lap. My belly is not going to knock it off or anything yet, but it's not comfortable.
No, you're right. Before I'll put it on my lap. Well, I put it on my lap for a little bit, but then usually I end up putting it on the floor.
So, on the floor?
Oh, yeah.
That can't be easy. Well, so, what are you, lying flat on the floor using your...
No, I'll
are
be
you,
on...
Are you Indian?
I'll be on my hands and knees. Sometimes I'm squatting. I mean...
Just to get a comfortable position?
Well, you know, when you're a road tech...
Oh,
you know,
well, yeah.
People
don't
give you space. A lot of them won't even clear their desks off in order for you to be able to put a new PC in. And they don't clean the food out from under their desks either.
That's a different problem. I don't want to talk about our issues, road tech issues. All right, let's get to your calls. We're going to go to who's first? We're going to go to John in Weathersfield first. What's going on, John?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, so I'm ergonomically comfortable. I've been working from home since March.
Beautiful.
But I do have a comment and a question about working from home. So I cut the cable a few years ago, and I found streaming to be really overrated. I mean, I click on something, and I sit there, and I watch it buffering and buffering and buffering. And so I did a speed test. This goes back late last year, early this year, and I was getting 50 to 60 megabytes per second.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, well, that should be fine, but still there's this buffering issue. So now, okay, and I'm getting to my question. So now,
sure.
I've been working from home, and I would save a Word document, and it would take 4 minutes to save.
Yeah.
And so just now I did a speed test. I did two speed tests. I did one on the Xfinity site, and that said 6 to 8 megabytes per second.
6 to 8?
And then six to eight.
That's not good.
It's dreadful. And I did one on Speed of Me, which I think you guys might have recommended some time ago.
Never heard of that. It sounds like a movie.
Okay.
Speed of Me?
Yeah, I know. But that one said I have 0.7 megabytes per second.
Well, Xfinity would be the good test. So you obviously have a problem with your internet. However, there's a lot that contributes to your performance, right? So when you're doing a speed test, if you're wireless and you're connecting wirelessly to your router, that communication, if it's running over a very old Wi-Fi interface like 802.11g.
Or A or B.
I'm all hardwired. It's all hardwired.
Okay, hardwired. So that goes out the window. If you're hardwired, you're going to get the best potential performance. So you obviously have a problem with your internet.
How old is your switch?
No, your switch could be a problem, yeah. Are you plugged right into the modem, or are you plugged into a switch or right into the router? What are you plugged into?
It's a modem to a router to my devices. And, I mean, there is some distance. There's probably like 20 or 30 feet between the router and the devices.
That's fine.
But I guess that answers my question. Maybe I need a new modem or maybe a new router. But my question is, are other people experiencing slow internet because everyone's online all the time now?
It's a good question, but it shouldn't impact you. Go ahead, Bob.
The other thing when you're doing a speed test is you want to make sure all the other computers are not connected to your network because they could be drawing your speed away from your test.
Yeah, but we do want to answer that other question as far as just because everybody else is on the network doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be impacted like you were in the old days. To me, it sounds like you've got poor internet service, so your cable service is bad. You need to call the provider. The other alternative is to see who else might be able to offer you high-speed internet in your area. GoNetSpeed might be coming to Weathersfield. You should check that out. to see if they can get you fiber. I promise you, you'll appreciate that. We're coming up against a hard break, John. Is that enough for you?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
You got it, sir. We're going to step out for a quick break. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And everything we've talked about has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Mike G's working feverishly. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs here at Tab, and he helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We have three lines open. I know it's a lovely Saturday morning. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Just curious about how, as you've been at home now, and your company said, hey, you got to work from home, and these big, some of the big companies that are out there, you know, they would have whole ergonomics teams. If you were uncomfortable in your office, they'd come out and adjust your desk. They'd adjust your where your computer was, where it was, where your monitors were, so your neck wasn't killing you. And just curious how you're doing. I mean, a lot of people's arms and wrists and necks are killing them after this 3 month period of being at home. And just, you know, I got a feeling the workman's comp lawyers are going to get warmed up on what they're going to be doing. Also, the last caller was talking about, you know, streaming not being what it's worth, and he's got the buffering issues. And it was his internet, really, that is the problem. Because if your internet is a solid 50 to 80 megabits, you can run streaming no problem for as long as your network is set up properly. It's not just something you flip on and plug in a Roku stick and say, I'm streaming. No. You need to make sure you've got a good Wi-Fi connection within your home, and you got to make sure you don't need a lot of bandwidth. 50 to 80 megabits is plenty. If you got a smart TV, if it's connecting poorly because you're running on a 5G rather than a 2.4, because 2.4 will do better, believe it or not, for streaming through smart TVs than the 5G. Even though 5G is faster, it's more of a problem at a distance. So try to run the 2.4 gigahertz range when you connect your wireless devices when you're in your home for streaming, and they'll work great. And, of course, check to see if there's any alternative services in the area. So feel free to get online. Three lines open today, but we're going to get right to our resident. I think it's our resident groupie, Danny, with a question. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning. Hey, my wife's got SBC Global email through Yahoo.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's going to get a new computer, but how can she save all the emails on her current? She's got Windows 7 Home Premium.
Yep.
Does she have to have the new machine to transfer them over? Can she put those on a thumb drive? Does she have to, like, print them out physically on the, you know, paper?
No, she can export the emails. So she can go ahead and export them down with an export out of the SBC Yahoo page. She can wait until she's got her new computer and bring up a mail client. And download the email that way, so it's local by default. There's many ways to do it. Mm-hmm. I would tell you to use the mail client and then set up the account and have it download locally, and that'll solve the issue.
Right. Now, does she need to remember or know what the password is, the original password, to do that?
Yep, whatever her password is now, she's going to need to know it.
That's the thing. We have no idea.
Well, you can reset it.
You can reset it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then write it down.
Maybe download it onto a thumb drive and then just put on the new machine?
Well, not in a thumb drive. She could literally log in with the new machine using a mail client, and it would be downloaded that way. But you have to log in, and you need your password to do it, right? So if you don't know your password, you got to reset your password.
Oh, okay. Listen, a guy called in last week about the Starlink, the satellites, and he was asking about that website that I mentioned the week before.
Yeah,
it's findstarlink.com.
Yep.
And as a matter of fact, I saw them again last night at 9:37. They went overhead. They just went overhead about 20 minutes ago, too.
Yeah, you can't see them overhead, though, if you look outside now, right?
No,
you
not, see, of course not.
You don't
not
see
now.
Any shiny little things in the sky like,
but
I don't
they're
know.
They're very visible. And
are
they're
they?
Very beautiful.
He's going to hit, they're very beautiful? Is
Pardon?
That what you said? Did you say they're very beautiful?
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's like a string of pearls going by. I mean, you can see them for 5 minutes.
Nice. Well, they're going to send some more up.
Tuesday.
Yep. And he's going to hit a record, right, Bob? We have the article.
Yeah, it's SpaceX preps another Starlink mission in pursuit of new launch record.
Yep.
So,
well, in a couple of weeks, he's going to have as many launches as China, and then they're talking about with the big rocket, they're going to be able to put up 240 at a time.
As many launches as China.
So,
yikes.
They're planning to launch five of its Falcon 9 rockets in the span of about a month, starting with its historic mission sending NASA astronauts to orbit May 27th, followed by three Starlink launches with plans to boost the GPS satellite on June 30th. So they're doing it at a pace they're trying to set a record.
They're almost running out of space to store the rockets. They're building them so fast, and same thing with the satellites.
Right, and they've got over 500 of those Starlink satellites up there now. So when they get it up to 600, they'll have enough to start going with their satellite.
They're
going to
fire up Skynet. Skynet's going live.
Well, you know, those two rocket, those two satellites they launched last week, that was, they were called SkySat.
What could go wrong, Danny? They've got autonomous cars. They've got 600 satellites.
Can you say Terminator?
I'm sure everything's fine.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Danny. Thank you. So we'll be here till 11 o'clock, guys. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So as we wait for your calls on this lovely Saturday morning, another article that I was found interesting. By emptying the offices, coronavirus has hastened the paperless office. Analyst predicts 7 football fields per minute printing plunge. So I just thought of The Office. You know, that's that show that they sold paper all the time. And in my business, I've been doing this for 30 years. Going paperless has been a promise probably for the past 25 years, being paperless. And we've never seen it, really. People still print paper all the time. Heck, I'm holding a piece of paper right now talking to you. I could obviously do it off my screen, but no, I print it out. So I have something in my hand. They predict a 7 football field per minute plunge.
I still think it's easier to read off a piece of paper or a book than it is to read it from a screen.
Sure. Yeah, it can be. Because, I mean, your eyes get tired looking at the screen all day.
They come up with these e-readers. Some of them are pretty good, but some of them are hard to read.
Yeah. So the firm yesterday predicted page volume will fall 13.7% in 2020 from 3.2 trillion pages in 2019 to 2.8 trillion. So don't worry, paper companies. You're still going to have plenty of paper. The damage, though, will be lasting, according to these guys. We'll put the link up here for you. But maybe we're going to get more paperless as we're all unable to work in the office. But I would contend here's the problem, right? Here's the issue, guys. So when you're in your office and you print something out, especially if it's sensitive, you have what? A shredding company that'll come and shred the documents that might be at risk. When you're at home and you're printing it on your printer right next to your, you know, your office there, where is that shredding going to happen? Are you taking the printing that you're printing out? Because I know you are. We all both know you are. You're all printing out your stuff. Where are you putting it? Are you just chucking it in the garbage? Does your company know that you might have important data you're just printing out and just strewing about your house? I mean, there's some issues with working from home that need to be addressed. Not to mention even the fact that, you know, if company A, you know, you walk to get something from the refrigerator, you walk back and maybe you look at HIPAA data and stuff that you shouldn't be looking at because, you know, whoever you're working with in the house is accessing other data. So there's a lot going on out there that these companies need to be thinking about.
Well,
how about
when people stop and figure out how much it costs to print at home over time? Because right now it hasn't really been long enough to run too much toner. But you know,
yeah, you're printing on your you're printing out stuff for your company that now you're going to have to start paying for supplies.
I just bought some new toner. I had to buy 2 cartridges, but
yeah,
they're like $150 a piece right now.
Yeah, it adds up. So, but there's still a lot less paper happening out there. So made a little dent thanks to COVID. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Roger in Middletown. What's going on, Roger?
Yeah. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an older XP unit, and I know...
XP!
I knew that was coming. But I had reloaded this. I had recovery disk, and I reloaded, and can't connect to the internet now, and I didn't know... I hardwire it in, you know, with an Ethernet cable, and when I try and connect, say, to your site, it says can't find the website or a DNS error. I'm not quite sure if it's the same thing. So I didn't know if it was because, do I need to contact the cable company or the internet provider and find out what their routing number is, if that's the phrase? Or do I need to flash a BIOS or something?
No.
No. You need to put in a good DNS value.
Right. Or just refresh your DNS by typing in a syntax of, is it ipconfig/\renew, right? You can renew and get new IPs.
No, that'll renew his IP, but if he's communicating on his network, what he wants to do is get it. You have to have a valid DNS. Some of the DNS IPs have been, deprecated.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you're using something that's current. So, like, Frontier has deprecated all of the old AT&T DNS servers. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, you had AT&T and then, you know, you never changed it, you know, you may have had a DNS that is no longer functioning.
Right. So to change it, you want to go into your network settings of your network card, which in XP I have forgotten long how to do it, but maybe Bob has a recollection of how to go into the network settings there.
Want to go into Control Panel, into your network settings, and find your NIC, right-click on it, and go into the IP version 4 settings.
Right.
And go down to the bottom where the DNS is, and just keep put in 8.8.8.8.
Right, or you can put in the OpenDNS IPs, which is 208.242.222. You're supposed to know that one. I'm not supposed to be the one that pulls it out the way I do. But there's OpenDNS IPs you can put in there. So your issue is just you got bad DNS.
You know, when Bob said the 8.8.8, I thought I had used that or something similar. I might have seen some. Was it on the internet before?
Yeah, 208.67.222.222 and 208.67.220.220. That's open DNS.
Yeah, so you should go in the network settings and just see if you've got DNS settings in there. And if you do, if you're obtaining them, I would bet you actually have them physically set. They're static and they're just deprecated. And you need to put in, like Bob said, put in clean IPs and you're probably working. There's nothing else you have to do, Roger. That's it.
All right, so that's okay. I was thinking that if I already had those in or something of that nature, the 8.8.8, what else would I be looking at? But
if you still can't get out, try to ping things. Try to ping
Google.
You can ping Google, and see if you get a response. Just try to ping your router. Try to ping .192.168.1.1. See if that responds. You could have a network problem. That's an old machine, so your network card could be failing. There's a lot of issues you could be having besides a deprecated DNS, but we're assuming your hardware is still good, even though it's probably 80 years old.
So the recovery disk, the application disk, doesn't really mean it's going to refresh anything like that.
Well, no, it'll bring it back to
the
default.
Biggest problem I see is you did a recovery, and that's all well and fine, but you can't get updates.
Right,
so
you're done.
So you're going to be so far behind, it would have been hundreds.
Oh, since the recovery disk. Yeah, you're factory fresh.
That's right.
Oh, you're even more old. 80 is not even a good year for you. We should say it's 100 years old now because all the fixes are not going to apply for you.
Okay.
All right, Roger. Get out and get a new machine.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, Roger. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. We're going to step out for a quick break. Bunch of lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11 o'clock. We're live on this lovely Saturday morning. And, of course, we're also on Facebook Live. If you follow us over at WTIC on their Facebook Live, we are broadcasting live. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And we are broadcasting live over at Facebook via the WTIC stream. If you would put a quick comment in there, say hello if you get a question. That's great. The comments and stuff, and the shares especially, tell Mark Zuckerberg that we're worthy. So if you do that for us, that'd be great. No pressure, though. It's okay if you don't. There's a question out there from Pat Jacob Zip. You want to bring it up there, Bob? You can see it better than I can, even though I do have my new glasses.
Well, he's having a problem with his desktop. It keeps freezing.
Yeah.
So he has to force it to shut down, and it usually will come back. A few times when he tried, it would beep. And it sounded like a truck backing up. So that tells me that it was emanating a beep code.
Right.
So a beep code is almost like Morse code. So you got to listen to how many times it beeps and whether the beeps are long beeps and short beeps. Mm-hmm. And then kind of write that down, like two beeps followed by a long beep and two more short beeps.
Right, like an SOS. It's a little SOS from your computer.
So then you have to find out who the manufacturer of your motherboard is and get on the internet and look up beep codes for whatever motherboard.
Right. And then it could be telling you, hey, I've got bad RAM, or I've got a bad processor, or there's something going on here.
Right.
And then you have to take action. Then you have to decide whether or not to take action, only because it's so old, it may not be worth it.
If it's RAM, it's a pretty easy fix. Yeah. If it's your processor,
hopefully your machine's over 5 years old and you can just justify replacing it. So hope that helps you there, Pat. Let's get to your calls. You're going to go to Adam in Terryville. What's going on, Adam? Adam, you there?
Hello?
Hey, what can we do for you, sir?
Yeah, I had a question. My son's computer, it's got like a really slow hard drive, mechanical hard drive. I think it's like a 5200 or something like that.
Yep.
So I wanted to get, it's got Windows 10 on it. So, you know, I built him his own computer, but I took that hard drive with Windows 10 from a previous computer and plugged it in. Yeah, it works fine. But I want to upgrade to an SSD. So can I move that operating system to the SSD?
Yeah.
Without having to, like, I mean, I've heard of ways to do it, but I'm trying to, like, think of, you know, maybe.
Well, you don't want to do it with Ghost, or you don't want to clone
Acronis,
it.
You don't?
No, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
Because the operating system, when it's loading, detects whether or not you have a conventional hard drive or an SSD.
That's true.
And then it sets it up. SSD has a specific properties that it sets for the SSD so that it doesn't burn out your SSD prematurely.
Good point.
So if you load it originally with a conventional hard drive, which does a scan disk and it does check disk and it does these things, and you run those on a SSD drive, you'll wear out the SSD drive prematurely.
Right. Do you have the software, Adam, to reload it?
What, the Windows 10?
Yeah.
I have the key, but I don't have, you know, because it came from an OEM computer. Like, you know, grandma bought the computer for him, and I took the hard drive and put it on a better computer, and it's just, like, you know, so slow with the...
You might be able to create recovery disks. Have you tried creating a recovery disk of the operating system?
No, I haven't tried anything yet. I wanted to do my research a little bit before I just kind of went in there.
Yeah.
What I would do, the path I would pursue, because you're putting an SSD drive in, is I would back up your data, mm-hmm. not the operating system. Just back up your data and then load the operating system fresh.
But he doesn't have it. So how is he going to do that without the disks?
I have a Windows 10 for my personal computer, but I don't think that wouldn't work, right?
It'll work.
It'll work.
When you go to run the setup, it asks you to put the key in. So if you have the key
from the other machine,
you can put it in.
Okay, all right.
Unless it's a specific manufacturer, you could find that the manufacturer has done some customizations to the operating system that might cause some trouble. But worst case, you put the old drive in, and then you decide you have to buy a new operating system because, you know, Microsoft doesn't have enough money.
Yeah, right, yeah. All right.
So I guess,
the same question is, like, now my personal computer – it already has an SSD. I built it with an SSD from the ground up. Now, if I wanted to change that to like an M.2, Ultra M.2, because it has all that set up for it, how would that work? That could just reload Windows on the new drive, and that's basically.
In that case, you could kind of ghost it, because the M.2 will have the same functions and features as a solid state. But I would tell you, you're not going to really see any improvement, that much improvement, that it wouldn't be worth it, I don't think, to do all that.
Right, okay.
I mean, you've got a perfectly good solid state drive, unless it's failing on you. You're not going to notice a difference between the two, I don't think.
Right. Okay.
Are you doing gaming with it, or are you just word processing and stuff?
No, my rig is a gaming rig, and basically his is too. And there's almost, you know, there's nothing like on the drive really, because he has Steam, so I could just re-download all the games on Steam, and then, you know, there's no like important, there's no pictures or anything like that. It's just a 10-year-old kid's computer. So.
Cool. Yeah. So you got some ideas there for you. I think you're going to have to do something with software to load it fresh. All right, sir.
Right. All right. Well, I'll try it on that end and see how it goes.
Let us know, Adam.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You got it, sir.
Bye-bye.
I want to thank Adam for doing that. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.